ask for help this morning, as Norman has already prayed. We've gathered together for your agenda to be accomplished here on earth. I thank you, Father, that we are the sons and the daughters of the living God by your choosing, by your adopting us. You've paid the price. You've made it possible for us to draw near to your throne of grace. And so we do so, Father, now in Jesus' name. And we just invite you, come and life us as we are in need of it today, Father. Strengthen us so strong, strengthen us so much that we can be a strength to those around us, especially in this time when people are quaking, Father. I ask you in Jesus' name to do so thorough a work in each one of us that in this darkness we can shine and cause people to see the goodness of God, Father. And I just give thanks to you, Father, in Jesus' name, that you are good to us in every way. We welcome your word. I thank you for giving me utterance, and at the same time, set a guard over my mouth and keep watch at the door of my lips. And blow away and make of no effect that which is not from you, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Okay, by way of announcements, boy, is this loud. Is it because of that?
Yeah, he just turned it on.
So then maybe turn off the monitors. It's loud. Okay, that's not part of the teaching. Okay, so does everybody have either a phone or a Bible? Because I would like you to do a little bit of work this morning. I would like you to partner up with somebody next to you. It's okay if it's your spouse. That's fine. Psalm 91. I would like one person to read the first 8 verses and the second person to read the second 8 verses to each other out loud. So it's going to be a bit noisy in here. It's okay. Okay. So do you understand what I'm saying? Okay. Out loud, not theoretically. I would like you to read to another person Psalm 91, beginning in verse 1. Write the whole psalm, but one person reads the first 8 verses, the other person starts at 9. Okay. Nice and loud. Yeah, you can make it 3. That's fine. Yep. My God, in whom I trust. From the deadly pestilence. With his pinions and under his wings, you may seek refuge. Amen. No evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent, for he will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will bear you up in their hands, that you will tread upon the lion and cobra, the young lion and the serpent, you will trample down. I will deliver him.
I will deliver her. Set her securely on high, because she knows my ways. He will call, but she will call upon me, and I will answer her. I'll be with her in trouble.
Amen. 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 Okay, let's give a few moments for everybody to finish up. Excuse me. I want to be quick because the majority of the work today is that we would pray together. We live in interesting times, to say, as the Chinese would say, but it's not necessarily a good thing. Right now, there's two very serious things going on. One is highly infectious, very dangerous, It is causing trouble for a lot of people. The other is a virus. Okay? The first is not the virus. The first is the fear that surrounds everything that has to do with this. And the second is the virus. Okay? So I want to address both things this morning. It's not really part of our series, but it ties in with what we've been talking about concerning the conscience. I want to start by reminding you that you and I are the sons and the daughters of God. Okay? That is an extraordinary statement, if you stop to think about it. If you think about that statement in the context of your own life, you know what you were like. You know your story, that what you currently have in the Lord is so far beyond what you could ever have deserved in His presence. And yet Jesus made it possible. And we are the sons and the daughters of God. And that is an extraordinary thing, something that you should marvel over every single day. And I say it in this context to also remind you that that comes with a responsibility. We are not merely bumbling our way through this life that we've been given here, but we have been granted the privilege of being His instruments, that His will be done here on earth. His kingdom come, His will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. And along the way, God works in each one of our lives to help us, to fulfill us, to make us full, so that we say with David, for example, look at my life. It's full. All I can say is how good God has been to me. And remember, those are the last words of David, and you know the context of that. David did not have everything go well in his life, and yet at the end of the day, what he concluded was, just look how amazing God has been to me. Okay? So we are the instruments of God. We are here to play a part in the will of God coming to pass here on the earth. And we are to be a help. We are to be light in dark places. We are to be the ones who are pointing a way for everybody else to say, look, in this time of trouble, there's someone who can help you. It's Jesus. Okay, so I want to remind you, even though we have this, this global pandemic going on, and as I said, the more dangerous aspect of it is the fear surrounding it. I want to remind you that we have a part to play in arresting it, in stopping this effect spreading across the globe, both in terms of the virus itself, but also to be light in a time of darkness when everybody is afraid of everything. I mean, like I said last week, why do you need toilet paper? It's actually a little more serious than that. There are people who have conditions that they actually do need toilet paper and they can't get it. Because everybody else, as Linda suggested, they're making walls around their house with toilet paper. But see, this is what fear does to us, right? This is what fear does to people. They are presumptuous about what could happen. It's not to say that you don't want to be sensible. In a time when there might be trouble, it's not bad to have some supplies on hand. But, two truckloads of Lysol wipes so that you can sell it to somebody else at a high profit. This is not the behavior that is befitting those who belong to the Lord, at least. Not that that particular incident was somebody necessarily walking with the Lord. I just want to start by saying we have a part to play in this thing turning around. Okay, both in our own lives, okay, then the sphere around our lives, but also because we are the sons and daughters of God, we can pray and see this arrested. I'm not saying it's on the shoulders of Living Word Church, but it is part of what we have been called to do. So that's why I want us to take time today to pray. The other thing I want to say is, and this ties in with what we've been talking about, conscience. When all is said and done, we live not what we say we're supposed to believe, we live what we do believe. And God recognizes this, right? God, who, as Warren described to us before, is just this amazing, gracious, merciful, loving God, sees through all of our pretenses. But let me not be so negative about it. He also sees the places where we think we believe something, and He knows we don't, right? And God has made provision for all of this. And I want to read to you from Romans chapter 14. Then I want to remind you of Psalm 91 again, and then I want us to take some time to pray. We could read all of 13 onwards, and it would be excellent. In fact, I encourage you to read all of Romans, but for the time being, read Romans chapter 13 to the end. And in this passage, Paul begins to talk to us about how we are to deal with one another. In view of the fact that people can be at different places, and this is what I mean about God in his gracious kindness, doesn't treat us as if we are something that we are not, but at the same time makes provision for us to keep moving from where we are to stronger and stronger places. And because of our time today, I'm only going to read from verse 14 to chapter 14, verse 20 onwards. Do not tear down the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are clean, but they are evil for the man who eats and gives offense. It is good not to eat meat or to drink wine or to do anything by which your brother stumbles. The faith which you have as your own conviction before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves, but he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith, and whatever is not from faith is sin. From Psalm 91, one of the things that you have the right to conclude, and not just from Psalm 91, from many places, one of the things that we personally, each individually, have the right to claim for ourselves is that this will not affect me. Okay? Now, some context here is useful. COVID-19, or that virus, it's not actually called COVID-19, that virus, whereas it is more contagious than the flu and more dangerous than the flu, all in our history, it is nothing like smallpox. It is nothing like Ebola, for example, which has been more recently in the news. It is nothing like the plague. And throughout history, the people of God have had to live through these things. You know, the plague was happening, if I remember my history correctly, the plague was happening in Europe around the same time that Martin Luther was involved with the Reformation. And a lot of things that came out happened while he was hiding from the plague as well. And I want us to see that in the midst of all of that, even more, first of all, we have the right to claim, I'm going to be fine here. In fact, I would take it even further. If I had time, I would talk a little bit more about spiritual immunity as opposed to just your natural immune system. Let me take a moment here. You know, God invented your immune system for a reason, for a purpose. It's good, it's not bad, and we do need to take advantage of it. Okay? So all of the directions that we've received about washing hands and all that, do not just blow that off as, oh, that's for the idiots. Okay? No, that's good. But here is my challenge to you. We are not limited to what our natural immune system can do. You and I, who are the sons and the daughters of God, whom Jesus has redeemed at such a high price and paid for every sickness to be completely healed, we are allowed to tap beyond that into spiritual immunity, for the lack of a better way of putting it. Okay? An immune system boost. Let me put it even better. A supernatural that is greater than the natural. So by all means, in wisdom, do the naturally wise thing to do, but do not limit yourself there. Okay? It isn't foolish to wash your hands in a time when stuff is going on. Okay? But I will again say the more dangerous thing is the sphere behind it that causes people to hoard toilet paper, for example. That's easy peasy. What will happen when food is not available? And then people start killing each other just to make sure that they have a package of food, all from fear. I'm not saying it's going to get there. I'm just saying I wanted to paint a bad example. This is fairly easy to deal with compared to something like the plague, right? In just after the World War I, there was something called the Spanish flu that spread around the world, and it killed, if I remember my facts correctly, 200 million people. Okay, thank you. 40 million. We're still in the millions. That was very dangerous. Very dangerous. So it's not like we as the church has never had to live through these things. And in the midst of them, I think it is essential that we represent God well in it. So that requires us personally taking care of the natural, for sure. Wash your hands, cover your coughs. These are all good things, not just for yourself, and I'll get to this, but for those around you. But I think it's even more essential that we dig into things like Psalm 91, right? Now, I want to remind you, Psalm 91 is full of promise, but it starts with a condition. Okay? So it is not right for you to simply take the latter verses and say, see? And then because you know the verse, say, so this is not going to affect me. It actually starts with a condition, which I think is so essential and precious. And it gets to the heart of what I'm trying to get across. You are not spiritually immune from the sicknesses that stalk the earth merely because you know that Psalm 91 exists. You are immune spiritually from every sickness that comes to you if you dwell in the secret place of the Most High. And that is the key of your life and mine. You know, we've talked more recently about having been joined to Him, that we are one spirit with Him, that God, in a sense, and this is a weak picture, has married us, and we've become His. What is His is ours, and what is ours is His. And it's not a one-way street in terms of value. He took our sicknesses, our shame, our diseases, our brokenness, and gave us His health and His prosperity and His love and His kindness. Okay, so it's by no means an equal trade-off. But nevertheless, this is the picture that the Scriptures paint. But even more essential is that we see what He's really after is what that union is intended to do in you. A fellowship with Him that causes you to say, this is not going to affect me. When all is said and done, faith is not the product of an intellectual understanding of Scripture. Okay? That is logic. You can logically deduce, it says this, it says this, it says this, therefore this. And that's fine, there is a basis for that. But real faith is a response to God, who is the author of it. And so that's why Psalm 91 entirely pivots on you being a person who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. I.e., what is most important to you in this time is not all of the precautions and not even the verses that you can come up with and put on Instagram or Facebook that speak to this time. It is that you are a person who is so close with God that the truth of it is carrying you. That's what we want. Okay? So first and foremost, in this coming week, I want us as a church to be well. Okay? So you need to be physically clean, fine, but you also need to be clean on the inside in the sense of my strength is coming from the Lord. My strength is coming from the Lord because I dwell in the secret place of the Most High. I have the right to say, this will not come near my house. This will not affect me. And then, I don't want it to affect anybody else. Okay, now this psalm, verse 91, was written before the cross. And so it talks about looking on and seeing the recompense of the wicked. But we are in a time of grace. And so we do not want the wicked to be recompensed right now. We want them to be saved. Do you follow what I'm saying? There is going to come a time when judgment comes, but it's not now. And this virus is not about judgment in any way, shape, or form. It is not about God showing people how foolish they are, as if that's not on display 24/7 all the time. This is not God's handiwork. Because who is it that comes to steal and to kill and to destroy? Who is it that Jesus worked against? Because, you know, how does it put it in Acts chapter, when Peter was talking to Cornelius? You know of Jesus of Nazareth, how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the... Okay? So however this may have arisen, whatever is going on, everything about it has the handiwork of our adversary, the devil. Okay? So I want us to be, let me even start making it more personally, I want to be, in this time, something that works against the press of this place. So I need to be well. There's no question about that. I need to be well, which means I need to hide. I need to hide. I remember my friend once in the midst of some very difficult things, he let me know, you know, I've just been hiding. And that friend is in this room. But I've just been hiding because he had lots of stuff going on and it was really difficult. And I thought, that is just so well put. He was hiding in the presence of the Lord. Because that's where we get our strength from. You know, my strength is not from I can quote Scripture. That's not to say that you should not be able to quote Scripture. You do need to do that. But that's not our strength. What is my strength? God Himself has joined me to Himself. I'm given the credit card to draw off His bank account for anything I need, including immunity. And that's what I want to be strong in. You know, this is a bit of my opinion, but I think it can be supported by Scripture. Jesus said, you will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. How is that possible if every one of His saints are so concerned about getting infected by what that person is sick with that they won't lay their hands on them? So therefore, there must be some kind of provision for the saint that keeps him safe in that circumstance. Are you with me? There must be something in God that allows me to say, I need to go in there and I will not get sick. As I said, the current circumstance, as serious as it may be, and it's particularly serious, not probably for people like us, but for, like, for example, my parents, okay, who are now in their 80s, they're not strong. The statistics from this sickness, from what I can see, the people who are most severely affected by it are elderly, and those who have already an existing condition that makes them weak. So in a natural sense, the last thing we ought to be concerned about is I might go to church and I might get sick there. But at the same time, it would be irresponsible for me to say, because I have this, nobody else ought to be afraid either. And here is the tricky thing. I was thinking about how do we deal with this? And I was imagining what would happen if somebody new came into our service in this time. How would we deal with this person? Now, I personally, I'm taking a stand that I'm not going to get, and my house is not going to be affected by this virus. I mean, remember, I stand in front of students. Well, I used to stand in front of students. That's been changed now. I interact with them. They come from all over the place, okay? So it's not inconceivable, you know, that I'm exposed to it, but I'm taking my stand here, Psalm 91. So I recognize my responsibility. I need to make a point of hiding. I need to really draw near to the Lord and find strength in Him. Now, with that said, if I then go and hug that person who came in the door and said, well, it's okay because I'm not going to get sick. There's two problems with that. Number one, that declaration, I'm not going to get sick, as well as it is, in this context, is irrelevant. The issue here when you hug Joe who walked in the door is not whether you will get sick. It is, what is Joe's mind? Where is Joe's heart at? Can he tolerate you giving him a hug? Well, of course he can, because we're all Christians, and we know that this is what's true, and... Well, we know what we're supposed to say is true, but that's not what people actually think. And so one of the challenges I found here is that I am not allowed to act like everybody else agrees with me that because Psalm 91 is true, they're not going to get sick from what I do. Okay, now I'm not only expecting that I will not get sick, I'm also expecting that I will not make anybody sick. So I'm not just standing there. But I am not permitted to say, well, why are you being so squeamish about it? Because this is what the Scriptures say. And this is why I bring you to Romans chapter 14. And I thought, it's an amazing parallel. One of the things that I don't think we as a church have to deal with is food. Like, you know, it has happened. But for the most part, people here do not have a thought we're not allowed to eat pork. Okay? I know that we know people who do that. But I think people here have enough of a background in the Scriptures to say, well, actually, that isn't from Scripture. It's fine that you don't want to eat pork, but... That means more bacon for me, but it's not scriptural to say you should not do that. Okay, that came to an end. So how do we then understand the passages that are discussed here in Romans chapter 14 if food is never going to be an issue for us, right? When was the last time you were offered food offered to an idol? Okay, please don't be poetic about it. But when was the last time? Okay, so this is at least 2 years ago, right? At least 2 years ago. How about more recently? How about more recently? Okay, so that is not, strictly speaking, a one-to-one application of what we go through. But what it's getting at in Romans chapter 13, 14, and 15 is very applicable to us. Because what God is saying is what is more important than your faith is where they're at. And that is an extraordinary thing. That is an extraordinary thing. So when I do not want this sickness to affect me or my family. So I'm taking a stand. That is necessary. There's no question about it. But then God comes along and says, and that's not enough. You have to be mindful of where everybody else is at and care for them. Or we're not behaving like Jesus. So you take your pick. And I want us to pick behaving like Jesus. It's more important than everything else. So I want us to be very deliberate and diligent to sink our roots into what we have already heard about being healed and being well. You know, it cannot be a teaching to us. It cannot merely be logical, sensible, practical. I understand how that could be. We've got to be regularly spending time in the secret place of the Most High. Okay, we've got to really sink our roots into Him, from which all of these benefits flow. Okay, Psalm 91, as I said, it starts with the one who dwells in the secret place of the Most High will abide under the shadow of the Mighty. This is not saying now that you're a Christian, these things automatically happen, and we know that. Okay, the other thing that I also want you to remember is we are to be God's instruments to repel this. So we can't just think about ourselves. We have to think about ourselves, but not just about ourselves. It has to be, Father, I'm receiving from you that I can legitimately claim this will not affect me. But now that that is in place, I want to now start pushing against this for those around me. That means I have to care about where they are. So even though your faith says, I'm not going to get this, I'm not going to spread it, don't go and kiss the stranger who doesn't know that. Treat them with the respect that God has for them. I'm not sure that's the best way to put it. Okay? God cares about where their heart is at. And we got to care about where their heart is at. So when we deal with one another, that has to be in your mind. Okay? It is not, you know, I don't want to gross you out. Stuff that, you know, this disease, COVID-19, is now very, you know, very upfront and in the news, and things in our society are being changed as a result of it. It'll be interesting to see how all of that plays out. And one of the things that we should be taking responsibility for is to pray for those who are leading all of that, right? Our leaders have to have decisions. Let's face it. Those who are stuck in the natural have no clue what to do here. Okay, they're doing their best, but we need to ask that the wisdom of God would be unfolded to them, that they would begin to see options that they haven't seen before. And that is our place, right? You know what? I don't know where our prime minister is at with the Lord, but let's just say he does not believe in the Lord. His prayers aren't going to be answered, but ours will be on his behalf, right? That's part of being who we are. We can take a stand and say, Father, I ask you to release for these people wisdom and understanding so that this can be effected. But we don't stop there. We keep pressing in. As we were reminded, we have the authority to speak to spiritual things. If you say to this mountain, be removed and cast in the sea, and do not doubt, but believe in your heart that what you say will be done, you'll have it. If you believe that if you speak to this virus and say, be arrested, and do not doubt, but believe in your heart that what you say will come to pass, it will be done. That's where we have to work. Okay? I know it's not our fault. It's not our, it's not because we did something wrong, but this is our part as the sons and daughters of God, to stand up for those who cannot stand up in the midst of this situation that's so dramatically shaking things. It is an opportunity for us to show people what God is like. And that's what I want us to make sure that we take advantage of. And I want us to be thoughtful about how we help one another in faith. Okay? So when I was thinking about this, as I said, I have no fear. I have no problem, strictly speaking, of you coming in and hugging me. Okay? Because my confidence is not cannot be in the fact that you kept yourself clean. How can that be my confidence? Father, I'm going to be fine as long as nobody else makes a mistake. Well, my God is pretty small in that case. So I thought, okay, so I thought I would say at the beginning, I got no problem with you coming to hug me. And then I realized that's exactly what this is getting at. When was the last time you were offered food to an idol? Or let me put it differently. When was the last time that you were in a situation that you could cause someone else to sin by eating food that was offered to an idol because they were not strong enough to deal with it? And I realize if I stand up and say, I got no problem with you hugging me, it's no problem, and I don't, okay, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not taking my stand on I'll be safe by you staying away from me. But the moment I do that, what will it do to someone younger than me who's come in through the door? Well, I guess that must be okay. And then they get hugs, but their heart is not at a place where they can withstand it. So by me saying, go ahead and hug me, I've laid the groundwork for someone else to stumble. Possibly, I'm not saying definitely. But I realize this is how I have to think through things. You have your faith, excellent. Stand in it, be strengthened in it. But be mindful that other people don't. What are you going to do to help them? How are you going to interact with them? So that's, I want us to take time to pray. This is, I believe, in keeping with how we need to behave in this time. It isn't enough to put on a face of bravado and say, Psalm 91 says, it's true. Psalm 91 does say it. The problem is people don't believe it. And we don't have to act like that's not true. Because, you know, between you and me, I'm sometimes that person who doesn't believe what the scriptures say. It has happened in the past, once, many years ago. We need to instead recognize what is the real issue here. The real issue is not a united front against COVID-19 and we take Psalm 91 as our banner. The real issue is God cares about every single person and where they're at, and I want to help them. I want to be helped. Please don't misunderstand me. In addition to hugging me, you're also welcome to give me a scripture to remind me this is what is true of you. And I think you need to take some time to just consider that this week. Amen. I will do that. But I also want to think through how will my behavior affect them. Okay? Faith, genuine faith, is very effective. Pretend faith is really disastrous. And we want to be involved with the genuine faith. How's that going to happen? The one who dwells in the secret place of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. So dwell. And what does that mean? Well, I'm just not there yet. No, you know what? God likes you. He loves that you think you would like to spend some time with Him. Whatever you understand about that phrase, do it. If that's just 5 minutes in your car as you go to work saying, Father, I just want to give you thanks and praise that despite me being the mess I am, you love me and care for me. Do that. Do that. From there will flow the, I'll use the King James Version, the unction of God to be able to stand firm against all that is spreading around us. And we must stand. Okay? We must stand. As wonderful as it is that doctors get medical knowledge and discover things and understand how things all work, there is a whole realm in the spirit that you and I have been tapped to move in, and that's what we need to do. Okay? So as we move into prayer, I don't have a title for this message except, I guess, spiritual immunity. But even more than this is that we understand our responsibility to care for those around us. Okay? I have my faith, and I want to be strengthened in it, and I want to stand firm in it, but I will not assume that you are. Or especially the person that I speak with. That they should have no problem with how I behave. You know, if I don't wash my hands, okay, maybe my faith can withstand that. But can that person's faith withstand seeing me not wash my hands and then give them a cookie? And then I'm standing there watching it. Don't you want to eat it? I made it for you. Whose welfare am I after? Whose welfare am I after? So you know what? Being who you and I are is much more rich and deep than just taking a promise and saying this must be true. We are to be reflectors. We reflect the glory of God because we've been with Him. And we reflect the light of God into this dark time. And not just COVID, right? I mean, that's the thing that's going on right now. And honestly, I don't know if you think about these things, the way our world is set up,
so that